Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, January the 1st, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi. Here are our top stories this evening. Unpaid doctors and nurses go on strike in Zimbabwe, paralyzing some health care centers.
Most of them wanted to report for work as usual, but they failed to report for work due to challenges in having adequate transport.
Zimbabweans make New Year resolutions, with some people vowing to quit drinking beer.
Zimbabweans, even those who are intellectual, seem to be scared of really dealing with the situation, and that is the complexity of it all.
Zimbabwe's inaction and the country's deteriorating economic situation surprises some analysts. And a pastor who denounced President Robert Mugabe urges the president to form an all-inclusive government. These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Zimbabwe started 2016 on a sad note, with government doctors and nurses going on strike following today's government's failure to pay their December salaries. Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association President Dr. Fortune Nyamande says their members, together with nurses, failed to get to their workstations because of several challenges, including lack of bus fare. In an effort to avert the strike, the government early this week requested hospitals to make contingent plans to ensure that all critical areas are adequately staffed and remain functional until January 5th this year, when the doctors and nurses are expected to get their salaries. Through this arrangement, the government promised to provide transport allowances of $2 per person, which was rejected by the striking hospital staff. Nyamande says that between 60 and 70% of hospital staff failed to report for work today. He tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that Harare Hospital maternity wing has almost become dysfunctional, as most nurses have opted to stay away from work.
Most of them wanted to report for work as usual, but they failed to report for work due to challenges in having adequate transport fares, and also they are citing that even back in their homes where they are coming from, they now lack the basic commodities like soap, mealie meal, water, electricity and so forth. So they cannot present themselves to the workstations in a dignified manner.
The government announced that it had made arrangements for nurses and doctors to get transport allowances. Did this not materialize?
I think it was a promise which was on the surface, because they only promised to take care of, you know, of giving people actually $2 per individual. So this was viewed as grossly inadequate and does not take care of the other things which someone must have for them to go to work. For instance, there's no way I can go to work without bathing. There's no way I can go to work with dirty clothes. There's no way I can go to work on an empty stomach. There's no way I can go to work when my family is hungry. So going to work should not only be viewed in a myopic manner, as presented by the Permanent Secretary, Dr. Gwinji, to say that for you to go to work, you only need $2 every day to go to work. Even if you give Dr. Gwinji $2 today, will you be able to go to work at Kagoi Building? You can't.
Are there any efforts to meet with the relevant ministries?
We have always been willing to engage. Our hands are open. We have actually even deployed a few of our comrades to go to work just to serve in the critical areas, so that we don't expect our people with emergencies to die.
That was Dr. Fortune Nyamande, president of the Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Health Minister Dr. David Parire Nyatwa was not available for comment, as he was not responding to calls on his mobile phone. Millions of people make New Year resolutions every year, and some of them struggle to meet set targets even during the first month of the year. Zimbabweans are fond of making resolutions that include quitting drinking beer and getting better education. Our correspondent Loida Moyo reports from Mutare.
Zimbabweans are normally gripped by the festive mood this time of the year, but indications are that there is little to celebrate this time. Despite subdued celebrations, some local people have made resolutions for the coming year. Most of them hope to achieve various goals if the economic situation improves. Chadrick Maria, a teacher who is a moderate beer drinker, has resolved that he won't take the so-called brown bottle anymore in order to get local respect while also improving his welfare.
I believe drinking beer is destroying my personal image, so possibly I will stop drinking.
Another local person in the eastern border city, Shebat Mrazikwa, concurs, noting that he is upset that the government made unexplained deductions on his delayed December salary. He says deductions of up to $48 need urgent action, like quitting beer drinking.
2016, my resolution is to quit beer because I no longer have the money to entertain myself. The little I was earning, they took one quarter of my salary as a pension. So I'm left out with nothing.
Some locals like Christopher Chigwanda have committed themselves to ensuring that they work hard for their families, even if the economic situation does not improve in Zimbabwe.
I shall try by all means to make sure that my family has something to eat. But I should also take note of the economic situation in Zimbabwe and, of course, the drought which is looming. I foresee disaster, but I shall try and make sure that my family has something.
He says he has met his past resolutions by getting loans to meet some of his goals.
I was able to buy some of the assets that I had wanted to buy, but because of I had to use bank loans, the mere salaries that we have could not suffice to meet some of the goals that I wanted to achieve. But all the same, I look forward to work hard.
But Mrazikwa is disillusioned after failing to meet his 2015 resolution of enrolling for a master's degree at a local university.
The money that I was earning, I failed to even enroll for a diploma course. So everything now in tatters. It's a bleak future.
For Dankamvura resident Edith Nyika, it is hard for her or anyone to make some straightforward resolutions for the year 2016. Nyika says she will take each day as it comes to avoid disappointments, as she has done in the past.
2015 was a little bit difficult for us because even mostly in the private sector, we are not getting our salaries on time. Even when the salaries were coming, they were coming in bits and pieces.
Simon Shumba, who watches cars in the city, almost shares the same sentiments, though he believes that government has to make concrete resolutions of transforming the economy instead of people making such commitments without having a solid financial backing.
Maybe if the government would improvise the system or of the economic nature of it, you know, just back to the standard, same to the similar years of 1990 or beyond, you know, everything was so nice.
Most people cannot tell what the future is for them, as they say the declining economy is causing havoc in communities that can hardly have food on the table. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Loida Moyo.
Thanks a lot, Loidam. We also have messages sent by you, the listeners, about the festive season, and here are some of those messages.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Oliver Madsot from Chitungwiza. My special message, New Year's message, and best wishes goes to my wife, Yuda, who is currently in Nyanga. Say, guys, the boys, Craig, Courage, and Carlos, guys, I miss you. I wish you all the best. That God leads you into where you should be going. Secondly, I would like to say to all the Mandisodas, the Makombes, the Wumba, here at home and abroad, say God loves you guys, Ebenezer. I just hope God keep increasing you physically, mentally, socially, and spiritually. To all my friends, work, social networks, all over the entire world, I say, guys, let's continue building Christ-centered trusting relationships, building families, and men for Christ. That's my message for this year, 2016. We are to go forward and not going back. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, Team Studio 7. God bless you. Bye-bye for now.
Firstly, I'd like to thank God for this year, 2016. May God guide and protect us in this year. Happy holidays to my siblings. Blessing Kamutando and his wife, Charles Kamutando and his wife, Dorisa Chingwena and her husband, Salvation Kamutando. May the Lord protect and guide you all, my parents in Dewezo, my in-laws in Weza, and all my relatives across the world. My name is Mrs. Sangaja.
Thanks a lot to all those who sent messages to us. And from Studio 7, we wish you a prosperous 2016. We want to hear from you out there. So please send us your audio and video messages on WhatsApp. We'll give out some calendars and radio receivers to those who send us these messages. And please do include your address when you send us the messages. Our number is 1-202-465-318. That number again, 1-202-465-0318. We are also on Facebook.
This is Ndimiake Mwakalielie. On behalf of the Studio 7 team here in Washington and also our reporters in Zimbabwe, Botswana and South Africa, we want to wish you all a very, very happy new year in 2016.
That's the way to get into a new year with some nice fireworks. And remember to tell us what you think about 2016 in a poll we are conducting online. Cast your vote at www.voazimbabwe.com. Don't be left out. Vote now at www.voazimbabwe.com.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 meter wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
The absence of a public outcry in Zimbabwe over the deteriorating economy and other areas that have stifled citizens' progress has been puzzling to some. But as Studio 7's Ndimiake Mwakalielie reports, analysts say the reason is lack of a strong leadership and fears are partly to blame.
Analysts say the appearance of peace and calm in the nation's streets is not indicative of acceptance of the status quo. Senior consultant Piers Ashley-Pigou of the International Crisis Group explains that it's mainly restraint due to fear.
There have been protests, and let's not get away from the things that there haven't been. Vendors, students, teachers, etc., etc. What we've seen in the last year is that whenever protest raises its head in an isolated way, the state has come down and moved on those protests very, very quickly.
London-based political analyst Clifford Mashiri agrees and says the disappearance of activist Itai Dzamara 9 months ago left many subdued and in fear of the state security agents, whom he says the government works hard to please.
Before Mr. Mugabe went on holiday, he ensured that the security services had been paid, the CIO, the police, the army, and so on, and particularly, obviously, the top brass. These are the people who are dangerous in the country, and they are the ones who cause people to be very nervous, having seen Dzamara disappearing just in broad daylight. People don't want to sacrifice their lives to a regime that can cause them to disappear.
Professor Shadrack Guto of the University of South Africa in Pretoria says the fear runs deep across all levels.
Zimbabweans, even those who are intellectual, seem to be scared of really dealing with the situation, and that is the complexity of it all. But a time comes when something begins to ignite the whole uprising. I can't say what it is going to be, but it will be sooner than later.
But even when citizens feel compelled to push for change, analysts say Zimbabwe lacks the strong leadership needed to mobilize people into action. Lecturer Israel Moyo of the Catholic University of Zimbabwe, who is speaking in his own personal capacity, says Zimbabwe's suffering will continue until such leadership appears.
Requires a more active role from the political leaders. It, unfortunately, at the moment, I am afraid to say that it's fragmented. We have seen political leaders now pursuing individual goals at the expense of national goals. We don't see the leaders now in the world of Joshua Nkomo, even the president, during his prime time.
Director Pedisai Ruhanya of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute concurs.
We have a problem of opposition that is in disarray. We have a problem of the civic. That is in disarray. Even if you look at the liberation struggle, it is bitter. The late Jan Nkomo, the likes of Mugabe himself, people were disgruntled, but the leadership then stood up and organized people to stand for their rights.
Spokesperson Murdoch Chibasa of the National Constitutional Assembly agrees that the country is in a state of paralysis, but disagrees that opposition alone can fix it.
In opposition, we also have our limits. All we can do is to try and influence policy. And in that absence, the people themselves have the power to change government when we get to elections. So still in the hands of the organization.
But ZANU-PF legislator and Central Committee member Joseph Chuma says all talk of forcing the government's hand to change through opposition parties or street demonstrations are counterproductive and devilish.
Look at Libya, for example. Look at Egypt. Look at Tunisia. Look at even Syria. Look at all those places where people have tried to go on the streets and demonstrate.
He says the solution is simple.
There is need for coming up together, focusing together, stopping the blaming game and looking forward to making 2016 a better year. And all that can only happen if we are united, if we are focused.
With 2 years to go before Zimbabwe's scheduled general elections in 2018, analysts say while they are not advocating for civil disobedience, they urge opposition groups to work on gaining citizens' trust and the government to appease the people's suffering. For Studio 7 from Washington, this is Ndimiake Mwakalielie.
Now we take a look at regional and international news. People around the world welcomed the new year 2016 with hopes for improved economic conditions and much less violence. Despite warnings about possible terrorist plots that caused heightened security precautions in many population centers, New Year celebrations almost everywhere were happy and untroubled. The U.S. Justice Department says authorities have arrested a New York State resident accused of planning to kill civilians on New Year's Eve in the name of the Islamic State group. Israeli media say one person was killed and at least three were wounded when a gunman opened fire on a busy street in Tel Aviv today. And Rwandan President Paul Kagame has announced his intention to run for a third term in office in 2017, 1 week after the country voted in a referendum to change the constitution to allow him to run. Pastor Patrick Mugadza, who staged a one-man demonstration against President Robert Mugabe at the annual ZANU-PF conference held recently in Victoria Falls, says the president should form an all-inclusive government that has technocrats to turn around Zimbabwe's hemorrhaging economy. Mugadza was arrested in December, brought to court, fined, and then freed yesterday after Victoria Falls magistrate Lindiwe Maphosa agreed a variation of his bail from $500 to $50. He's now facing charges of contravening a provision of the Criminal Law Codification and Reform Act, which outlaws insulting Mr. Mugabe. State prosecutor Lisa Nare alleged that Mugadza, who resides in Kariba, also disturbed the movement of ZANU-PF party supporters who were on their way to the conference. Mugadza carried a banner written, "Mr. President, the people are suffering," Proverbs chapter 21, verse 13. Pastor Mugadza was represented by lawyer Tulani Mugadza, a member lawyer of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights. His trial is scheduled for January 5th in Victoria Falls. Pastor Mugadza tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the country's worsening economic crisis inspired him to protest, and he does not fear abduction and disappearance like what happened to human rights activist Itai Dzamara.
What really made me to do that is the fact that we have got a problem. The unemployment is just amazingly going up each and every day. But we know that there could be a solution.
What is the way forward?
The way forward is involving everybody. There has got to come a point in time when the leadership is going to say, we cannot do it on our own. And as a result, this is my suggestion as a way forward, to say, let us then come up with a government of technocrats.
The last person who staged a one-man demonstration was human rights activist Itai Dzamara, and he disappeared. Are you not afraid that the same fate will befall you?
I really am not afraid of that. But let me tell you to say that I believe in the power of love, and I do not believe in the love of power. What I know is that the power of love can conquer anything, and the power of love is whereby one does not look at themselves. Christ laid down his life.
That was Pastor Patrick Mugadza, who was arrested for staging a one-man demo in Victoria Falls. He was speaking there with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Hwange. There are so many news stories that stood out in 2015, and one of them, of course, was the death of Cecil the Lion, which resulted in rave media reviews worldwide, resulting in a White House petition to deport its American killer, Walter Palmer, to Zimbabwe. Our correspondent, Patricia Mudadigwa, has more details.
Cecil the Lion was killed in July in Zimbabwe's northwestern district of Hwange, Matabelele North Province, well known for having the majestic Victoria Falls, or Mosia Tunya, as it is commonly referred to by local people. The death of the lion captured international attention, as some sections of the Zimbabwean community and London researchers had classified it as a tourist attraction and research project. The lion, which had an attractive black mane and prized for fathering several cubs as the dominant male, succumbed to his death when it was speared to death by American hunter dentist Walter Palmer, who went into hiding after it emerged that he had killed one of the most prized wild animals in Zimbabwe. However, the global attention given to Cecil left many ordinary Zimbabweans surprised, with many saying that they were not even aware that the lion was being used for research purposes and for attracting tourists. Harare resident Emma Chandigere says it was disturbing that some people mourned Cecil the Lion when a human rights activist, Itai Dzamara of Occupy Africa Unit Square, was abducted by unknown assailants about 9 months ago.
I think the hype that was created by the media on Cecil the Lion was just too much, considering that the large populace in Zimbabwe didn't know about Cecil the Lion. No one knew who Cecil was up until the time he died. And I think it was also unnecessary given the standpoint that there was someone who had just gone missing and disappeared, like Itai Dzamara. And the hype that was given to the lion was more than the hype that was given to Itai Dzamara, who is a human being, rather than a lion, which is a mere animal.
Chandigere says the lion's death was a wake-up call for the Zimbabwe National Parks to make citizens aware of important animals they have in the country.
The hype only came out after the death of the lion. We never knew that there was Cecil in existence before. And I really wonder what the National Parks, Zimbabwe National Parks is doing with regards to probably marketing such important, if they are of importance to Zimbabwe as a nation. Why can't they conscientize people with regards to such animals?
Fadai Netembwe says The majority of Zimbabweans like here do not have the luxury of visiting parks and other tourism destinations as they live from hand to mouth.
We don't even have money to go places like national parks and other tourism places since we don't have the funds.
Another Harare resident, Prosper Dube, who was born in Wange, says he was also not aware of the existence of CISL.
I actually picked it from newspapers, online publication, but mostly I picked it from foreign publications. So by the moment I saw that noise about the CISL, the lion, that's when I started to research about it, to try and find out what really is this, who was CISL the lion and what's so special about him. And up to now, I'm still in the process of trying to figure out more about who CISL the lion was and what was his importance and relevance.
Amos Chikuka says it was said that the local media had to pick the story from the international press. He believes that this is an indication that Zimbabwe has too many pressing issues.
Surprisingly, it became a big story, media outside Zimbabwe. While in this country, it never had space. I think it could be the issue of that there's too much focus on internal issues of economy, political instability and stuff.
Remember also the president falling at Harare International Airport and when he also said Pasine ZANU-PF. For Ryan Dick, the media blew President Robert Mugabe's fall out of proportion.
President Mugabe's fall is not such a big issue. It's something that can happen to anyone.
Another story that captured the attention of Zimbabweans and other people worldwide was a contest for finding the country's ugliest man. Two-time reigning champion William Mashinu called for a rerun, accusing the judges of being biased towards the eventual winner, Maison Sere. Mashinu argued that Sere came fourth when he took the first prize in 2013 and asked what could he have changed since he came with the same fares. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
And in sports news, many sporting disciplines had a torrid time in Zimbabwe last year, with just a few making the grade in the international arena. In this final segment of a two-part sports year-end, reporter Michael Kariati focuses on future prospects for Zimbabwean sport.
The year 2016 is an Olympic year. A number of Zimbabwean athletes, among them Kirsty Coventry, marathon runner Wurimai Joao, and rowers Michin Thorncroft and Peter Pascoe-Gilpin have all qualified for the Olympic Games. Qualified too are the Mighty Warriors, who are looking forward to their romance with the biggest sporting event in the world. That is not all. Zimbabwe will have two representatives in Pan-African football, Chicken Inn in the CAF Champions League and Harare City in the CAF Confederation Cup. Chicken Inn won the Kasolaga Premier Soccer League Championship, while Harare City took the Chibuku Super Cup. Both sides have the financial muscle to sustain a realistic challenge for the Pan-African titles. Manuti too will be going for probably the biggest fight of his life when he challenges Khan for that WBC silver belt. Should he win against Khan, that will bring him closer to a big money fight against American Floyd Mayweather. Manuti has not rested during this festive period and has been in training for the fight against Khan.
Yeah, I'm looking at to challenge Amir Khan WBC silver or to get WBC gold to Mayweather.
The Warriors are in camp preparing for the 2016 African Nations Championships to be held in Rwanda, and the same team too will be on the road at their first Swaziland, Guinea and Malawi in the qualifiers for the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations finals. The Minister of Sport and Recreation, Makosi Ntlongwane, has promised better government funding for Zimbabwe national teams in 2016.
We have Olympics next year. We have our boys that will be traveling to Rwanda. We need to find a way of assisting those projects.
That, however, appears to be coming a bit late, after the Warriors were thrown out of the 2018 World Cup after failing to pay a paltry $67,000 owed to former coach Brazilian Valinos. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Thanks, Michael, and remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will be talking with listeners and experts about 2016. And now to recap today's top stories. Unpaid doctors and nurses go on strike. That's it for tonight. My name is Chris Gande. Please do stand by for me as I host the Ndebele Show.